Waiting for your Major League Baseball team to win a World Series for, say, 108 years is intense. Waiting for the outcome of a presidential election for, say, another 4 days, also quite intense. Waiting to hear back about an admissions decision or a job promotion, also extremely intense. But none of this waiting, none of this anticipation compares to what we read in this week's Torah portion. It's the story of Noah and the flood, and it's all about waiting for it. Are you aware of how much time Noah spends inside of that ark? If you think it's 40 days and 40 nights, you would be wrong. I think I have it right, but honestly, the Torah says it in a bit of a confusing way. So here we go. It starts with 40 days and 40 nights when it rains without respite. Then for 150 days after the rain stops, the waters spread out over all of the earth. After that, it takes 3 months for the waters to recede. Finally, after all of that waiting, all of that living inside of an ark among animals, Noah sends a raven out of the ark to see if it will come back with some branch or something to signify that there's dry land outside of the ark. Spoiler alert, it doesn't. The raven comes back empty-handed. So Noah sends out a dove for the same purpose, failed again. Thinking the third time must be the charm, Noah waits for another 7 days and sends out a second dove. Finally, the dove returns clutching an olive branch. Noah still waits. Yet another 7 days after that, Noah lets the dove out again, and it flies away, and it never comes back, signifying to him that the water has receded sufficiently for life on dry land to resume. And keep in mind, when the flood started, Noah was already 600 years old. So let me ask you, can you imagine that? All of that intense waiting? Which is worse? Waiting for your team to win? Waiting for 4 days from now for the election? Or living in an ark with animals for countless, countless weeks? The frustration, the anxiety, the excitement, and the anticipation of dwelling in that ark must have been unbearable. What do you think Noah was doing in there? What was it like in there for all of that time? The poet Hannah Block writes, "The ark, noisy with children, angels, birds, dim, stuffy, close, the nest of home where Noah broods at sea. How can one think in such a place? The world presses around and God breathes down his neck." And we think our apartments are cramped. So what's the takeaway? What's the point of all this? Anticipation can be torturous. Waiting can be arduous. The buildup to a medical procedure or a difficult conversation can be worse than the thing itself. So what are we supposed to do when anticipation and anxiety flood our humanity? The story of Noah has two answers. First, it teaches, get up and do something. Noah does. He builds a wildly elaborate ark big enough to contain two of every important species on the earth, plus his family. So if you're waiting for your team to win big, buy tickets to see them, read about them in the newspaper, cheer them on. If you're waiting for your candidate to win, go to a swing state and canvass for that candidate. Give money, post on social media, do something. If you're waiting for the world to change, Noah teaches that we should change it. That's what Noah teaches, the importance of deed. But on the other hand, like any good text, it also teaches the opposite of action. It teaches something else. Noach, the name, the word Noah, comes from the root to rest. Noah's father says, "This one, Noah, shall console us from our work, for the hard labor of our hands and for the soil that the Eternal has condemned." Even more than rest, Noah is about giving us relief. Relief from media, relief from family pressures, relief from your stress and the stress of other people around you, relief from work. The medieval rabbi Sforno reminds us that Adam was cursed by God, making the soil become difficult to till. So what did Noah do? Noah invented a plow to make it easier for him. Noah teaches that while we may be consumed by doing, waiting, trying, and hurrying, it's okay to make life a little easier for ourselves. Rest, it teaches, is essential to human progress. Respite is critical to existence. And maybe that's what Noah is doing for all that time inside the ark. The Torah doesn't mention at all that he cares for the animals or even is taking care of his family during that time. Instead, maybe Noah is just tired from all of that ark building and he's more interested in just being. Being instead of building is what Shabbat is all about. Shabbat is like an ark in time, housing us, containing us, protecting us, and even sometimes stopping us from doing hard work. So my prayer for all of us during Shabbat, and maybe even over the next few days, is to breathe out, to give ourselves a rest, a respite, and to build for ourselves an ark to dwell in where real rest can be possible. Shabbat Shalom.